please. Just give me a second. All right. Oh, and before I forget, can I also take your picture?
Okay.
I just like to put a face with the with the audio.
Yeah.
We'll post this as well. That's okay. So,
1, 2, 3.
All right. Here, do you want to see it? Very nice. Okay.
Yeah. I don't think I actually got a proper info as to who the person is.
I'm Holden. I work for GiveWell. And GiveWell is a group where we research charities, what we call charities, nonprofits, and we basically try to publish our research on the web to help people decide where to give. And so we were looking for a good microfinance organization, and we found CEF and decided it was, you know, the most promising, the most impressive one we found. We gave $125,000 grant, and also are now going to be publishing a recommendation on our website. So what I'm trying to do is just understand more about what you guys do and how things work and, you know, the good and the bad, and that's about it.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
Cool. So can you just tell me your background, how you got this job, what you do? Mm-hmm. Any of those?
Okay. Jeez, that's quite a long time ago. I joined this organization 1996.
Wow.
So, yeah.
How old are you? How old are you, if you don't mind me asking? Okay.
Yeah. So, I actually just saw an advert.
Uh-huh.
Basically, they were advertising. In fact, it was an outdated advertisement.
Okay.
Advertising for field workers.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw it, I realized it was outdated, but I just called anyway, got the office. And unfortunately, they were looking for administrators. So I just wanted to be associated with the organization.
Mm.
I loved what they do.
Why do you like it?
Well, because the community work aspect of it, that's kind of something that I have done at school. We had a sort of a student organization that got involved in community work. So for me, you know, it was a continuation of what I've experienced, and it was quite I realized that's something that I needed to do. I enjoyed doing the work.
Okay.
So when I saw the advertisement from CEF, and then about what they do, I just thought I need to be there.
Can we just step back? Can you tell me what your background was before that? What your education was?
Yeah, I basically just I was out of a technical, what you call a technical. Right now they call them University of Technology.
Okay.
I haven't completed my diploma, but so what we call it a dropout, the name that we
should. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so I actually was in fact looking for a job. I financial problems in terms of going back to school and stuff. So I identified this organization as where I can go. The lucky thing is they didn't require, by that time, they didn't require a degree or something. Just MC was enough.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's basically how I got into the organization. And then I got an administration job for about 4 to 5 years at admin. And then, yeah, CEF was still small. I mean, I think we had about 20 to 25 people by the time I joined.
Okay.
Now, after that, yeah, I did move over to another department, quality assurance. It's basically, what we're doing is basically internal audit. It's an internal audit function.
When did you start in quality assurance?
When was that? Maybe about 2000 or 1999, something there. Yeah, so, yeah, I've been in the department for quite a long time now.
Yeah. And sorry, what were you doing before that?
Administration.
Administration.
Yeah.
What does that mean? What were you
well,
doing?
Well, that's where you get your loans, the applications for the loans that come from the clients. They get processed. We actually disperse the loans from there and then just maintain the actual records, you know, the loan records.
Okay.
And then other files related to, you know, the loans. You've got your RS, your center installment records, your, you know, statistical information that comes into there, a variety of things but to do with the loans. So, yeah. We just failed as loans administrations.
So then you went to quality assurance?
Yeah. That, and then quality assurance, what we do here in CEFS, quality assurance is basically the first and foremost is to make sure that our operations, policies and procedures are followed. People that are executing the actual activities are doing them according to established policies and procedures. And then, well, other than that, you know, you get to do instances where you get special projects that you have to do, like a senior manager might ask you to find out or establish for if they happen to be having some doubts or some suspicions around a certain area. Let's say it's a rise in the number of areas in a certain particular branch. If they want to understand what is the cost behind that, sometimes, you know, they will send us to sort of get an independent opinion about what the causes are. Yeah, compile a report about that and give it to them. They take it from there. And yeah, sometimes you do find that they are genuine areas. You know, sometimes they're basically following the activities that are happening out there.
How do you find that out?
Well, to start with, if it is, okay, what we're going to have to do is firstly, we basically just take a number of groups that are affected and then go out there in a field where the clients are or attend a center meeting. And then in the center meeting, is where all the groups have confederated. And then from there, you can either you know, want to get to see the clients themselves, if they are indeed existing, versus the loan application which you have pulled out from the loan administration. Just compare, basically verify if the client is existing, the loans that they took is exactly as indicated on the loan applications.
Okay. So
any difference there will basically say if it is about an amount. You see that maybe then there has been extra amount that have been dispersed, but the clients didn't get them. And which, in that case, ultimately results in an area because whoever is supposed to be paying that loan, they're not going to be coming through the normal channels to pay at the center meeting. And you find that you can basically link it to a staff member who is not able to, just pay with, other normal scams that they want to pay through somebody. If you are there, it's kind of difficult. Or if you are there and then you want to try and get to talk to each individual client face to face, then there's telling you stories about how much they applied for, but they didn't get the whole amount which they applied for. They only got part of it. The rest, they returned it back to SAFE, but you realize it didn't reach the SAFE's account. It only disappeared between the client and the employee. So then, we basically have to sometimes confront the employee about the issue. And then that's where you realize some to confess, I used it. Or some just resigned without expecting much.
Right.
Yeah.
How often do you find something like that?
It's maybe you can find an employee, one employee who's involved in this kind of things, maybe once after 2 years.
Once every 2 years?
Yeah, I would say on average.
So how many have you found in your career?
Jeez, I think okay, some of them don't necessarily come as a result of our department's work. Like, you also do get the branch managers coming across those kind of things. So I suppose I can talk about an average of the ones that we ever really encountered as a department. I think you're talking about between 5 and 10.
That's your whole department, not you personally.
Yeah.
Okay. What is your position? Who do you report to?
I'm heading the department.
Okay.
I'm reporting to the person I was reporting to just left, but then they were the what you call support services manager.
Okay.
But now in their absence, I'll be reporting to Mateo, who's the
CEO of operations. Yeah, I just spoke to him. Okay.
So other than that, there will be, sometimes we do support functions to operations department. Like right now, what we are trying to do, we are launching or implementing a system called One Day, One Village. We're trying to get each of our development facilitators making sure that they are working in one village for the rest of the one day. Just that day, so that they don't crisscross through the villages, because we realize it may take some time for transportation, waiting for transportation stuff. So we basically trying to support them in make sure the system takes off the ground. Just basically, it's more like a coaching and training kind of a function for these 2 months, February. So we've halted the normal quality assurance activities. Yeah. So
what's the idea? They spend each day in one village, and they're not allowed to go to another village, and they can't come back to that first village until they've been to all of them, or what?
Yeah, the idea is basically to sort of attain efficiencies.
Right.
In terms of time spent, and then making sure that you are able to give client service to your people. Because you see, after a center meeting, which is the main activity of every DF every day, after the center meeting, there will be activities that needs to be happening between the DF and the clients on one-on-one or on group spaces. For instance, when they have to do business evaluations, they have to walk house to house with each member. And then after that, you might find that they have there is a need for a group or two to prepare for their reapplication of new loan or repeat loans. Now, a development facilitator has to sit them down, do what we call progress meeting. That's basically they are reviewing their performance in the previous loan cycle. And then the discussion thereof is basically touching on as to how did each of them perform, such that can they now qualify the criteria for the repeat loan, and if they do, how much of the loan sizes are they going to be getting? Yeah, so the DF needs to sit down with those people. So is it, those are the kind of activities that needs the DF, but if they go out of the village, maybe they are rushing for an RAF in another village, which is quite something that can be impressive for the DF to run at, and leaving behind a lot of clients that need different kinds of services. So we try to also avoid that, make sure that there is quality in the work that they are doing also. The clients can, you know, feel part of the organization. In a sense, we're trying to make sure that the DF is having those supervision of this. It is meeting the clients very as often as possible. From the center meeting, at least they'll get a second meeting with an individual client after the center meeting. So if they can manage to be that close continuously, you know, that helps to get the clients understand some of the policies that we have and other things that the DF can solve other problems. Hopefully it will work for us also. We've realized we had problems around that area.
Okay. Have you ever heard of, or do you think it might ever have happened, that someone in quality assurance got offered money to keep something quiet?
I never came across that one.
Do you think it might ever happen? You know, like a DF says, okay, you caught me, but I'll give you this.
A situation, yeah. But the background, you see, the rest of the quality assurance officers came from the background of development facilitators.
Right.
So they know the work. They have been there themselves. They have quite a good experience in that area. So when they come in here, we basically also train them about, you know, changing roles now. So they do appreciate they need to be independent.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Yes, we're going to see each other today.
Okay, thanks. How am I getting back to my hotel? Okay, thank you. Okay. Okay, great. All right, thanks.
Hey, Eric. Good, how are you? Good.
Okay.
Yeah, the only incident I remember was, there was a situation where the development facilitator got, actually stole some money from the client. And now some of our staff who were working in the branch, they found out that she did that. Now there was timing at the moment when they wanted now to get sort of a side of the story what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And now in that kind of a meeting, you know, what we do is they always work as two quality assurance officers. They work as a team. Now, in that instance, one of them had to move out to the room, and it was only the one guy that was left happened to be a man at the...
Wait, what happened to the one?
No, it just went out momentarily.
Okay. Oh, there was only one, okay.
Yeah, now it was two people left, the suspect DF and the quality assurance officer. So it was a man and a woman, so what happened?
Okay.
As they were talking there, you know, she was, as I get it from that, the quality assurance officer, the woman almost, you know, kind of, how can I put it, she made a gesture towards the guy, sort of almost wanting to hug him
right.
or something.
I understand.
They didn't say much.
Right.
You know, they didn't say much, but, you know, it's the only kind of an activity where I feel maybe somebody was trying to bribe or lead you elsewhere or something. You know, they didn't have much time.
Right, because there's normally two. I guess that would make it harder to do that kind of bribe.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I never really came across somebody offering
and something that was kind of huge like that.
I guess to an extent it's because, like I say, we try to make sure we avoid those kind of things by making sure they're 18 all the time when they win.
Mm-hmm. I see. Do you go out in the field much?
Yes. Our work is mainly field work. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to make sure that we're visiting every branch at least twice in a year. So we got about, I think 37, 38 branches now. So each of them have to get like 2 visits in a year. So we spend a lot of the time out there. We only, every week we're out there. That's if we are not doing the routine audits. But like I say, right now we have since holding 2 months to do the other support activities. And beyond that, we are always out there.
Okay. What languages do you speak?
All the languages in Limpopo, there are three indigenous languages in the province. So two of Sepedi and Shangana and Venda. And then I speak all those. And then a little of Afrikaans.
Okay.
And then in other provinces, Northwest, Tswana, I speak Tswana.
Wow.
And then I speak Zulu. But then we're not working in a predominantly Zulu area. However, it's not too much different to Xhosa. We are operating in Xhosa area. So
how did you pick all those languages up?
What is it when do you grow up in a village or a township? You know, your next door neighbor speaks another language.
I see. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Palau.
Okay.
Yeah, it's different. You find that a lot of young people at age 15, they already know at least 2 languages. Unless it is quite an area that is kind of very rural in the sense that it's only one tribe that is predominant in that area. But in a township's environment, you get townships called Social Mulu, for example. That kind of Soto, Shangan, Nguni, Venda, it's like 4 tribes in one place. So a person growing out of that, they know almost 4 languages at about age 15 or so. Just, you don't have to go to class or something.
Well,
you meet the people, interact. That's how you pick it up.
How did you learn English?
Our school, basic school.
Okay.
Yes.
So did you grow up in a village similar to the people who work with Seth, the clients?
Where I was born, yes. You see, I was born and moved out of that area, that rural area, when I was about 10 or so, into a township now.
You went with your family?
No, I actually went to live with my uncle then.
Okay.
But yes, where I come from, that's in the Bakersfield area where Seth is now working in conjunction with Image. Yeah, that's quite a very rural area where TCP kind of clients will be found. And then where I went to live in the township, that's where your MCP kind of clients will be found.
I see.
Yeah. So yes, I can relate very well to the people that we will serve.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of us, in fact, come from those areas.
Okay.
That are working here in Seven.
So what do you think was, you know, it seems to me that you've kind of, you know, ended up doing a lot better than a lot of people in those villages, at least in terms of how much you make, or, you know, what do you think was behind that? No, you as a person. I mean, is that not true? It seems like a lot of the people in the villages, they stay in the villages, you know, you have kind of a nicer job.
Yeah, well, what the thing is like, when I went to the township. The reason there was that my uncle was gonna help me with schooling.
Okay.
Because my mom was struggling. Now, yes, I did do that. Fortunately, he did manage to pass matric. And then...
Managed to what?
To pass matric, grade 12.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you did well in school?
Yeah, so... And then a little bit of some tertiary education, I guess that helped, but, you know, to come and work for an organization such as SEF, you know, as a growing organization itself, it also grows within the organization as it does grow.
Right.
So I suppose more about the differences about school. The schools in rural areas like the place where I was born, is quite of low quality in terms of the learning outcomes compared to schools and townships.
Got it.
So when I go back home where I was born, my peers, the ones that I went to lower primary schools with, indeed I can see that there is a difference between me and them in terms of, you know, career-wise, let me see. So,
when you passed grade 12, did you have to take a test to pass out of grade 12?
Yeah, the minimum end of the year school examinations.
Right.
Yes, that's.
So you think it's probably it helped you pass grade 12 that you were in a township school, a better school.
Okay. Yeah.
And then from there, that made you kind of attractive as a job candidate to Seth.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. What do you think you'd be doing if not for Seth?
If not for Seth?
Yeah.
By that time, I suppose I would have probably ended up in one of the government departments, maybe your Department of Welfare or Social Work or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or an industry or something like that. But however, when I know that basically when I got out of the University of Technology, you know, I specifically did not want to be absorbed by one of those big corporate in the big cities. I always felt I needed to do something, you know, somewhere where I can be able to see my contribution, at least I can be able to influence also one thing or another.
Right.
So I needed I needed space of an organization such as SEF, for example, wherein I can be part of the whole activity, not just a drop in the sea of one of those corporate organizations. You will get whatever benefits they have, they're giving out, but you find that you don't even know the director, you don't even know where the head office is. So I felt, there's not much of interaction in terms of, working towards the vision of the organization, trying to understand what they are about and then seeing if you can play part in that. So, Seth came across as quite a good forum to do that.
Another question, I think this might be the last one, but you moved to a township, went to a township school. A lot of the other kids your age stayed where they were, went to village schools.
Yeah.
Why that difference? Why did you go to a township and they stayed? Why didn't they go to a township?
Okay. I'm trying to say, I went to a township. It is out of a family arrangement. So, it's a family arrangement, and I was moving. My mom asked my uncle,
Right.
To live with me.
Right.
To help me with cool.
Right.
So there could be one other guy like me in the same village that went out elsewhere. So, I mean, if you are referring to my siblings, to see why they didn't move.
Well, and your friends.
My friends.
Yeah.
We'll
start with your siblings.
Okay. My siblings. The thing is, I'm the last born child at home.
Okay.
So they have already. Let me see. Three of them were already working. So the other one that I am, that is the brother that I'm following. Well, he was there, but I guess my mom wanted some help around, so he was not happy. In any way, she couldn't ask my uncle to take care of.
No, I understand. Yeah.
But with other guys in the village, like I'm saying, it is my family. It's
right.
My
family. They didn't have family outside. They didn't have family in the township.
Yeah, or they didn't really have a need. Their parents didn't see a need, or at least they didn't, or they didn't recognize the difference in the kind of quality of life in that regard. The quality of education that way.
Right.
Like I'm saying also, I am only realizing that there is that difference. Once I have been there, before then, I only knew that, I'm going to live with my uncle.
Right.
Nice. But I didn't recognize that it could turn out like it turned out.
Are you happy about that?
Yeah, definitely. I sometimes consider, wow, I'm so fortunate. If it wasn't because I had moved, I would have stuck in there, would be fishing wheelbarrows in those mines there. So.
What are your siblings doing?
The other one, basically they are just taking on spiritual things. Not one of them did make it through grade 12 or grade 2.
I see.
So a lot of opportunities open, or at least better jobs. You do get better jobs when you get the certificate, matrix certificate, or a grade 12 certificate. So they don't have that. So they're only basically doing the manual jobs.
Right.
Another one is working in a mechanic kind of environment. The other one was a security guard. My sister worked in a retail shop.
Okay. Well, those are all my questions. Do you have any questions for me?
No. I guess. Yeah, I wanted to check if you did manage to get an opportunity to go to the field.
Yeah, I did this morning.
This morning.
Yeah.
Work especially in what we call TCP.
I didn't go to TCP. I went to MCP.
Yeah, because as I say earlier on, there is quite a difference there.
Yeah.
TCP, when you move into a kind of a village, you can really see the poverty. Everything just bears poverty. When you enter the household of a client, you really feel, that's some of the things that keeps us within the organization.
Right.
When you do interact with those people and you realize the impact that you are making. Or at least if you haven't yet made any paper, that those people need your services. So there is that connection. And that goes a long way in rewarding you as a person, as an employee. But then when you sit around here in town, get an opportunity to go to the township center meeting, doesn't really come across.
Right.
What the mission and vision of the master is about, whether we're having an impact or not. You have to be out there to experience it, and then you can connect with what service is all about.
So you would recommend going to a TCP village? Even if I've already been? Yeah. I don't think I do, but maybe I should cancel some of this other stuff. All right. Well, that's all I got. Really appreciate it. Thanks for talking with me. Very interesting.
Okay.
Good to meet you.
Yeah.